Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of Believe and Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us each week on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by Bet Online.
Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup, breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. With the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, to political props. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline. The game starts here.
Adam, we thought a new year would start new results for Razorback Athletics, and it didn't seem to go that way for the basketball team, losing to Tennessee 76-52 in Knoxville. Just start to finish. I mean, they started off the first few minutes strong, but then it just went to hell in a handbasket there. Before we went on air, I was trying to give some kind of light of this game, and it wasn't as bad, but then you really deep dive into the stats and the assists, the free throw shooting, three-point shooting, Tennessee getting just as many as rebounds, 51. Do you have points, 52? But It don't get any easier after this when it comes to this SEC schedule, and it's crazy. We'll start off before I get your thoughts of the game, and I'll ask you, do you think the SEC now in basketball is a tougher schedule environment than SEC football?
It's tough to say. I think you have more teams towards the top in the SEC than you do in basketball than you do in football. I feel like in football, there's too many mid-level bottom tier. Whereas in basketball, I mean, they're looking at potentially 12 to 13 teams that they're going to put in the NCAA tournament. So I think right now as a whole, I would say that, I mean, SEC basketball is tougher than SEC football. I think the only thing that you're really losing is the reign of national championships.
Yeah.
But that's been much harder to do in basketball because you do have March Madness. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see that shift. Obviously, we're kind of seeing it now shift away from the SEC in football with the college football playoff, 12 teams. But I mean, this is the toughest that I have ever seen. Even back when the ACC Big East days, I feel like this is the most dominant conference that I have seen.
Yeah, and, you know, SEC gets a bad rap for, you know, preseason rankings. But I think a lot of it, you get a bigger sample size of non-conference play opposed to you have three games and then you go in. And the three games is a lot of cupcakes, you know, to prepare you for the SEC schedule. This, you have, 12 games. And a lot of these SEC teams are playing legit top 10, top five teams as well. So you see how good these other teams are. And yeah, I agree with you. This is the most stacked I've ever seen this. And, you know, moving to the game, this was what I was afraid of. And this is what we talked about of letting them just out rebound you. You know, they are already number one in the country. You're playing on the road. You cannot give them any extra advantages. So the biggest advantage they got right there is, I mean, 51 rebounds, and I mean, Igor had 18 himself, 18 rebounds, and they had 24 offensive rebounds. Now, luckily, I mean, this game could have been way worse than what it was, because when you're getting 24 offensive rebounds, but you only had 26, or no, say, take that back, 16 second chance points, that shows you that, thank goodness they didn't shoot the ball as well as they could have, because it could have been a lot uglier than what it was.
Yeah, you know, this was a game that I kind of went into it after seeing what's happened, like against Illinois, and it was one of those that if we got down big in the first half, went into halftime down double digits against a team. I mean, then was Illinois, now is the number one team in the country. I didn't see any way that they were going to come back. Maybe have a little bit more fight. I don't know. There's a lot of frustration, I felt like, on the team. Not necessarily going to say finger pointing out loud, but there were some looks here and there that you could just sense players getting pissed off with one another. I will say, for the most part, I mean, I felt like the composure was kept, but this was just something that got out of hand way too quick. And at that point, you start making dumb decisions. You start trying to force things, and it just did not go well. And it didn't help anything either, you know, for the national audience to have, you know, Florida and Kentucky before.
Yeah.
And that game turned out how it did.
And of course, you know, Kentucky, you know, had their big win, 106-100 over Florida. And then you look at Arkansas and just laid an egg against Tennessee. I mean, we'll get into some other things when it goes to Coach Cal here in a minute, but this team, this is what you expect. And I'll say this, I have no sympathy for if there's any backlash or if there's any negative things said about the team's play, about the coaching, because this is what y'all asked for. I'm talking about the program, because you brought in Cal, you brought in the money, you brought in Tyson, you brought in all these theatrics that we're used to seeing from Coach Musselman. And then after the game, we see Cal going to see Derrick Rose's game, you know, which is okay. But again, everything's good when you're winning. When you're losing, these things are going to get brought up. Just like the no shoot around video at the press conference that went viral. They're going to nitpick everything you do from here on out, because you boasted yourself to be this team. But unless you get your dogs to come play, this is going to happen. You cannot get 2 points from Trevin Brazil. You can't get 3 points from Z. You have DJ Wagner. He stepped up 17. He had 12 from Boogie. You cannot get 12 and 17 from your guards, and then everybody else is in single digits. You had two guys in double-digit scoring. You won't win too many SEC games shooting the ball like that.
And, I mean, it's glaring to me, too, that as much as Thero was talked about during the game, which I know he had a couple spots, block, big dunk. It's one of those things. He disappeared. For being on the court for 25 minutes, he disappeared. Doesn't matter who the coach is for Arkansas, apparently, we can't get a big man. And it's one of those, Big Z's not him. We've seen that Brazil's not him. And like we've talked about, we want Brazil to be that stretch four. But once again, we have no inside presence.
No.
None whatsoever. If we're not getting, I mean, fast break dunks, we're not getting points in the paint.
Other than DJ Wagner, he went 4 for 5 from the free throw line. The only other person that made a free throw all game was Trevin Brazil. He went 2 for 2. Thero, 0 for 4. Adu, 0 for 2. I mean, you can't have that. And also, when you're looking at 13 free throws shot, you only make 6 of them. That's 46% from the free throw line. They doubled you up on that. Then you go to the three-point shooting. They hit 10 for 26 for 38%. You go 6 for 29. All the stats lead to the result of this game. When you want to look at the game and everybody says, this is a typical box score game. You want to know why Arkansas lost? Go look at the box score. Go look at the stats. That's exactly why they lost the game. Good news is they turned things around. They're a better team. But I've said this. You just said it. You got to get some guys that can hang with these physical teams. You're going to get run out of the gym in March. Mm-hmm. You better get to the point, because when you're playing these, you're playing Wednesday, Saturday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, and then you go play Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, and then you get a little week off, and then you try to do it again. You're in this rhythm of playing two games. Then you go run in the SEC tournament. You got to play how many other games and how many other days there. Then you go to that weekend format of the first round, second round, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final 4. You're going to have to be physical. And with a short roster, it's going to be hard. This is what I really am anxious to see of how much that's affecting everything, because when you go to free throw shooting, your conditioning, all that stuff attributes to your free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, looking at the other game, like, so we've got Ole Miss and who was it? Florida coming up.
Yep.
And I mean, that's one of those that, which new rankings will be out tomorrow. But you've got Ole Miss sitting at 24. They won their game against Georgia by 12. And then, you know, number six, Florida, which they'll drop a little bit, but, you know, they just went in and had a hard fought game at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You could potentially, and it's not down talking or anything this team, but you could potentially start 0-3 in the SEC.
Yeah.
Who's to say what's going to happen when you go? I mean, Vanderbilt beat LSU at LSU's home 80-72. So you have LSU after those next two games, but you could potentially start 0-3.
And with you losing this first game, I know it's the first game in the SEC, but when you're going into SEC play and everybody wants to win every game, but the goal, when you look at the men's and women's side, you always hear, we want to finish 500 in the league. That's going to give us a good bid, good seed in the SEC tournament or NCAA tournament. You're 0-1 now. So one of these weekends now, you're going to be first to win that week. You're going to have to win both games that week because, you know, you kind of want to split or take two away, but now you start digging yourself a hole. You've got Ole Miss and Florida. Granted, the good thing about this, they're both at home. That's really going to help out Arkansas with Ole Miss. Now, Florida, we might get a different team when Florida comes in because, look, say what you want. I know Cal's here. I know Arkansas, but Kentucky's still Kentucky. We want to troll. We want to do all we want to do. But sometimes we got to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, damn, Kentucky is still that team. And they've proven it. They've proven it.
Yeah. And I mean, I was looking at the further out schedule because it's really going to see after seeing the scores yesterday, who do we play twice? Who do we just play once? Mm-hmm. Luckily, we only play Alabama once because, you know, they put it on number 12 Oklahoma by almost 30 points. So you had three teams yesterday that were higher ranking SEC teams, but you had three squads put up 100 or more yesterday. Mm. And you could barely put up 52. Yeah. This is the type of talent that you're going to be going against. This is what Nate Oates, this is what Mark Pope, this is what Rick Barnes, this is what all these coaches are bringing to the table. You know, Auburn's going to be in this mix. And it's one of those things that you're going to have a hard time if you're only putting up 50, 60 points a game against these teams.
Yeah, you can't do that. Another thing that you'd brought up before we started recording was the assist. You know, Tennessee doubled you up on assists. They had 18 assists, you had 9. So you're mentioning something about, and I don't even know, this is just pure speculation. You got guys getting frustrated. You're getting blown out. You have 9 assists all game. I can guarantee you that has something to do with the frustration. Somebody's not sharing the ball. But then again, when you look at the stat sheet and you see guys going 3-for-7, you know, 0-for-4, you know, I'm sorry. I love JC. I love Jackson Collier to death. Really respect him. But, you know, John L. Davis, 0-for-4 from the 3-point line. No free throws. Did not drive the ball to the rack. Pure just trying to jack up threes. Same goes with the players. Same goes with the coaches. These are paid athletes now. These are paid, I guess even we can use the term loosely now, student athletes are getting paid. We're talking about their performance on the court. Nothing personal. And if they're playing like dog crap, you can point that out. And all the memes of the stick with pointing it at Johnny, and oh, hey, do something. That we have every right to say that. The fans have right to say that because these guys are getting paid now. Mm-hmm. We've said this during football season. We'll say it during basketball season. They're getting money. They want to be treated like pro athlete adults. I don't care how old they are. They should get the criticism. If you're getting paid $100,000 or more, probably, if the money's right, you're getting paid $100,000 or more to go play basketball at the University of Arkansas. We should expect more out of you.
Well, I know even, I think it was Thursday, one of the assistant coaches in the press conference, you know, he was asked about John L. Davis and said that he was working back. He still has to find his rhythm, you know, coming off his wrist or whatever it was. But I think with him, it's bigger. I think there's something there. Going from Florida Atlantic, where you were the guy, you were the top dog, you were the go-to, I think he's having a hard time because we've seen this all non-conference, barring injury, whatever else, that he hasn't found any rhythm whatsoever. We've seen some sparks here and there, but I think him going from the guy to a guy has completely thrown his game off.
I agree. You've played basketball. I've played basketball. There are so many players that if they don't start, it affects their game. But there's also a lot of people, you don't start them, they come off the bench and they can average 20 points a game. Something about that mentality, something about the pressure. I don't want to be a starter. I'll come off the bench. And once these guys figure out their roles and stick to their roles, but I mean, you look at his stats, he's averaging 8 points a game and 3 rebounds a game. I'm looking at his assists. He's only got 20 assists on the season in 12 games. So not even averaging 2 assists a game. You got to expect better. You have to. But you got to look at Big Z too. You got a big guy out there. You have to expect better out of these guys. You should have 4 guys. You should have almost all your starters averaging double digits. I don't care if it's 10 points or we've said this in years past. How many times do we not want to rely on a Mason Jones, Isaiah Joe situation where somebody's averaging 27 a game and you're trying to find that third guy scoring 10? You're going to win in the SEC. You got to have at least your 4 guys averaging in double digits. That's not too much to ask.
Well, even yesterday, you know, I'm questioning, you know, our leading scorer, Thero. I mean, he was just non-existent. And for you to get as much praise and then other things that we've seen throughout the year so far, praise from the national media, praise from the analysts during the game, whatever SEC players, I don't know, they probably haven't put those out yet, but you're getting pumped out there by the SEC media, by ESPN, by this, that, and the other. I'm sorry. When you disappear like that, you're being talked about as a projected first-round pick from what you've done this season. And to score 6 points or whatever it was in a game like this. If the thing is if when you're playing these big games, these big matchups, whether it's a number one, number 10, number 15, and you disappear, you're not making your case to be a first round draft pick.
Exactly. You can't, you gotta. And I always fear when you have these teams and when it comes to the recruiting and the transfer portal, yeah, it's nice to get 5 or 6 5-stars, but you can't just put them all together and expect them to mesh. But then also, you're giving 6 guys the ball that are used to shooting the ball 15, 20 times a game themselves. Now they're not. And then, of course, you see 9 assists. I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to look up their season assists, what they're averaging in assists right now. So they're averaging 16 assists per game. You're only allowing 11. So, I mean, you're averaging 16. So, but let's see how much that cuts down in SEC play. Because, I mean, it's easy to share the ball when you're up and you're having fun and you're playing against the smaller teams and you're playing your non-con. Let's see how this transition, because you're going to need to do that in SEC play. Share the ball, pass the ball around. You don't realize how much 1 or 2 extra passes can create one guy getting open and knocking down a shot, opposed to rushing. And now you're going on the other team's going on an 8-0 run.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be worried about.
I think something that seeing too, from what we've seen previously with Adu and Brazil being on the court together. So when this goes back to having big men, whatever. You know, I feel like they kind of figured out how to work with each other when they're both on the court at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like either one of them or Big Z can be on the floor together. When Big Z's on the floor, it's like he only knows how to kind of be a stretch 4. He doesn't know how to be a big man in the middle. So him and Brazil can't be on the floor at the same time. And no. It's one of those things. So a lot of times Vucevic is on the floor by himself in that sense of your big man. And he's not. He's not. He can't get rebounds. Yeah, he can block shots. He's, I mean, look, as tall as he is, I would hope he could.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that when he's on the floor and it's just him as your big man, I feel like, I mean, it's a liability. Because you have nobody to bail you out. You're basically hoping Thero can bail you out on with rebounds and playing underneath, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, if you got him out in stretch four, I mean, you're going to get doubled up on rebounds because you're giving them an extra guy down low to get a rebound. But, you know, there's a lot of coaches, though, you know, like you go watch the women play, and for years, you know, how Mike Neighbors coaches, he'd always have one player trying to rebound and four back. And I don't know his philosophy, how he does it, but there's a lot of they just trade it off. They'd rely on their shooting and just get back on transition D. I don't know how that is. I'm just throwing out a scenario where if you see a discrepancy in rebounds, that is why. But now the offensive rebounds is unacceptable. You can't allow them to have that many offensive rebounds. But going to Z, yeah, you're forcing him to play out of position. You know, it's almost like a Connor Vanover situation. I mean, just because you're tall doesn't mean – I think they said that the kid down at Florida, I mean, dude's, what, 7'9"?
Something like that, but he's redshirting this year, but yeah. He's like 7'8", 7'9".
You know, just because you're tall, you still got to be – I mean, imagine that guy trying to run up and down the court. This is not AAU ball. This isn't, you know, what overtime elite or whatever. This is SEC ball. There's going to be a reason why. He's going to have to get quicker. And we've seen flashes of what Vanover could do, but this could turn into the same situation that if he's a liability and you're already getting out rebound and the SEC is this tough, you could see his minutes go down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Which then puts you in an even more disadvantage when you're only running 8 to 9 deep.
Exactly.
So, you know, I know that when Cal came in and he, you know, there's a lot of talk on his team last year at Kentucky and guys being older and he had to change his recruiting style or who he went after, who he got out of the portal. And now I just think that like we saw with Musselman, like we're seeing now, there's got to be a focus. And I know that we all know this as Arkansas fans, just going back to the Larry Johnson, UNLV, Nolan Richardson, you know, you got to get yourself some men. And we're in the kind you're of in that same boat. Like you've got to get some big bodies that can throw people around. And I use that term loosely. I don't want them actually out there getting, you know.
Yeah, we get it. But it's a fact, too, that where this falls on the players is, you know, if Coach Cal is having these meetings with his players and we're like, hey, we want to get 6 or 7 of you guys. We're going to give you, I just want to throw it out there, $500,000 each. We're going to get you guys. We need to rely on you to average X amount of points a game, not pay for performance. But, I mean, I'm just saying if you're going to not have a roster of 12 to 14 deep where you can pay them all $250,000 each, we're gonna compress it. We're going to get 8-9 guys. We're going to build this like an NBA roster. That's where we talked about this preseason. He is trying to get guys to the pro. And I'm sorry, he will say this on that podium all day long. And I know this is not what Arkansas fans want to hear. And Kentucky fans have been trying to tell us for years. That's his main goal. He is going to do his best to get his guys to the NBA. If he wins a national championship here at Arkansas, hey, that's awesome. That's a bonus. That's cherry on top. He would love to win a national championship for the University of Arkansas. But his main priority is he's going to get these 4- and 5-star players to get them NBA. And I think Arkansas fans need to kind of accept that. Yeah, if we win a national championship, we're really good, except that we're good. But I'm just telling you, his main focus is getting these guys to the league. He doesn't want guys here for 3 years. He wants them from here for 1 or 2 years and then transition them to the NBA. That's what he said from the start. And well, go ahead.
Oh, even, I mean, recently, I think it was during the Arkansas-Michigan game, Jimmy V Classic, they had Carl Anthony Towns come on at halftime and talk with the analysts and everything. And he's talking about Cal, and he said he's the best salesman that you're ever going to meet. He's going to sell them on anything. At the same time, as a player, if you know that he's going to do everything in his power to get you to the NBA, and you've accepted whatever paycheck from whoever. I mean, I obviously there's not any tie-ins to NIL and basically pay for play and all that, you know, but it's one of those that at the same time, if he's doing you this to get you to the NBA, I feel like you need to be pulling your weight a little bit to the school and the people that are paying you money to at least put up some numbers.
Yeah,
because coming up and the performance yesterday, I mean, nobody there deserves a paycheck at the end of the week.
No, I mean, and I'm not making any excuses. I mean, it's unacceptable what happened. I'm just kind of giving everybody a heads up that if this team doesn't make a Sweet 16 or this team doesn't go to the Elite Eight, but you see two or three of these guys drafted and he's rebuilding, that's what you're going to get. He might sneak around and win a national championship here. Yeah, that could very well happen. I'm not saying he's not going to win a national championship here, but we need to accept that his coaching. Now, given the time that he had to build this team and really get it together, you're going to see him drag in probably a player like the top player out of the portal. And maybe Jonell Davis is not ready for the SEC. We don't know that. It's only one game in the SEC, so we can't really judge on how things are going. But if he's playing this against non-con, and then you're not playing any better in the SEC, that was my hope of, okay, they're going to turn things on when SEC play goes because they know it's a brutal schedule. So let's see. I guess give it a couple of weeks. But if we're sitting here, Adam, here in a couple of weeks, having the same look at the schedule, you know, couple of games out, and I'm going to look
Ole Miss, Florida, LSU. Florida.
So you got Georgia at home, end of the month. So by January 25th, you got before the Kentucky game. Leading up to the Kentucky game, if we're having this same topics, you're going to have the same outcome when you go to Lexington in February. I can guarantee it. So they better step it up or it's going to be the same outcome. Because I'm telling you, Kentucky wants to beat you worse than you want to beat them. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard to believe, but from what I'm seeing and what I see on social media, Kentucky wants to beat Arkansas worse than Arkansas wants to beat Kentucky.
100%. And if I were Coach Cal, which obviously I'm not, but you know, I'd be looking at as many former of his players, former Arkansas players that have been through, which I know the NBA is in season right now. I get that. But, you know, there's off games, off weeks, these guys travel. This is a time when I feel like a conversation with Bobby Portis, who has visited the team, conversation with Jordan Walsh, a guy who accepted his role here at Arkansas and still got to the NBA. These are the type of guys to bring in to maybe light a little bit of a fire or to at least get through some of these guys' heads that, hey, just play your role. Whether it's defensive, whether it's distributing the ball, whether it's taking charges. I mean, you know, going back to the Jalen Williams days, whether it's taking charges, find a role. Because I would rather you find a role and be an asset than us sitting here wondering why you played 25 minutes and put up 6 points.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what – I mean, I can't without pulling up stats, you know, Jalen Williams' stats in college. But he was known for putting his body out there and taking charges, being a dog. And we've said that in football season. I've said that now. We need dogs that are going to take over a game. I mean, Mason Jones, Isaiah Joe, if they had the ball in their hands, they were going to do whatever it took to get the ball. Jalen Tate was another one. The other one is Note. Note. He was very streaky, but he was very clutch. He would take command of a game when needed to will them to a win, and that's what Arkansas is going to need. And we said the other day, and I know Carter Knox stepped up to the plate that game, but we're going to need two guys to step up and SEC play and see what happens.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have four to possibly five guys in double figures.
Yep. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation after the break, and then we'll break down some CFP semifinal talk along with some portal news going on around former Arkansas players and their new destination. We'll talk about it after the break. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts, are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Look no further than ATU Ozark Campus. As a two-year satellite campus of Arkansas Tech University, we're dedicated to a quality workforce education. Industry partnerships for in-demand jobs and tailored paths for success. Our programs are led by industry professionals. Whether it's a certificate or you're aiming for a graduate degree, ATU Ozark has you covered. Visit our website at www.atu.edu/Ozark or contact us at 479-667-2117. Your future begins here. Welcome to Ozark Area Chamber of Commerce, where our mission is simple: encourage, promote, and aid an enduring environment of shared economic opportunity and civic development for the Ozark, Arkansas area. Whether you're a local business owner or a resident, we've got something for you. Shop our unique local businesses, explore the beauty of Ozark, and savor local flavors and find cozy accommodations. Join us in building a stronger community. And to learn more, contact us at 479-667-2525. Remember, together we thrive.
And welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. And continue on with the basketball team. Up next is Ole Miss, 63-51 win over Georgia on Saturday. Not a cupcake of a team. Looking at their stats, they are led by Sean Padula, averaging 14 points a game. Then you have Jalen Murray, 12.5. Matthew Morrell, 12 points. And then Dre Davis, 10 points. So, Adam, exactly what we said we want to see out of Arkansas, Ole Miss is doing. Four guys averaging double digits. The thing that scares me is when you look at Ole Miss, just like you see Tennessee, you know, they didn't have too many people rebounding well, average-wise. Five rebounds a game as their top guy. Malik Dia, averaging 5.5 rebounds a game. Said the same thing about Tennessee last week. If you allow them to get more rebounds and sit there and you're not shooting the ball well, you're going to let teams like Ole Miss, you're going to let teams like Vanderbilt, you're going to let teams like Mississippi State hang around. And with this brutal schedule, I feel like Arkansas is a better team. It's at home, but you cannot afford to let them come in and push you around and get twice as many as rebounds or as many as rebounds you had scores and win the game.
Yeah, just looking at their head-to-head, I mean – points per game, Arkansas's averaging 80.4. They're 79.6. Points against, they're 64. We're 66. Our field goal percentage is better, 50.7%. They're at 45. Rebounds are both at 35. Assists are both at 16. Blocks, basically, they're half a percentage point between, or half a point between. So on paper, they're almost identical.
Yeah.
When you just get down to direct comparisons between the two. So I think this game is just solely going to come down to turnovers, and I'm going to be looking at that assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at their free throw shooting, they're shooting 73% as a team. So that could help you. You know, you're playing at home, so of course you're going to get some of the whistles. We all know how it goes in the SEC, but this right here is a key win. Not saying must win. It's a key win because you drop to Tennessee, you lose this Ole Miss game, and then you have to rely on beating Florida next Saturday to avoid going 0-3 in SEC play. That's not a good start. And I'm telling you, for the hype that was surrounding this team, you start off 0-3. You play your top. I mean, you really look at the schedule. I mean, it's top heavy, but you can't afford to sit there and say, well, we went 0-3. We can claw our way back and let's finish strong. You would love to do that, but you can't afford to, because you're losing to these top teams. And when you go to the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, you're going to have those teams twice a week. You cannot afford to play like this. And hopefully this is just a one game fluke playing on the road against the number one team in the country. But that should be you. You should be playing like that with all this hype. You have the coaching. Let's see what happens on Wednesday, but they better turn things around quick.
Well, let's see too. And from something that we've talked about, I know a lot of other people have, Wednesday night, 6:00. The excuse isn't there anymore that it's not an SEC game for fans not showing up.
Exactly.
So, but I expect it to be, you know, the sellout that they say that it is. So I don't want to, I mean, at this point, I don't care that they lost the first game. This is the first home SEC game. So I expect it to be packed out. And if not, I feel like a lot of the people that don't go either need to give your tickets away or answer up why you're not there and why there's empty seats.
Exactly. And the thing is too, you know, you can't sit here as a fan base and be saying you're the top fan base in the country. If somebody chooses you on some whatever social media website as a top three fan base in the SEC or top four venue in the SEC, and you're screaming at the, you know, we're number one. Well, you're looking on TV and you're seeing half empty arenas. That's another thing. You got to get the people in the seats. And this is for the season ticket holders that are buying. This is not to the casual fan that doesn't have the seats, because it's not your fault. You don't have the season tickets. You don't have the means to go up there every single game. These are the ones that pay for those seats to be there every game. They're counting on you to be there. This is kind of a call out to you. You have a top talent team. You have a top talent coach. You want to be there in the seats, because if you're playing against Florida, yeah, they're probably going to be 19,000 next Saturday. But we need that for these Ole Miss games. We need that for these other home games that are coming up to be packed out. You know, Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, is going to be on February 8th. That's going to be a big one. LSU on the 12th. You're looking at these home games, Missouri, Texas, Mississippi State. It's time to pack the arena. And here's another aspect. Prove to us, prove to Hunter Yurachek why they shouldn't remodel that thing and make less seats and more suites.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing.
Up, they're going to do it. If you're not showing up, they're going to put more suites.
Yeah, that. Trust me, y'all aren't going to want, because with that whole thing, the way I see it going is they take away seats, they add these suites, and then say what we think still can happen, whatever else. But with this team, with this program under Coach Cal, then it gets to a point that, yes, we are consistently top 15, top 10, top 5. Guess what? You're not going to get to go anymore.
Yep.
You're not going to have the opportunity to go anymore. So it's one of those, we need to be there to show them why they don't need to take away seating. Mm-hmm. Because it's just one of those things. I think it's inevitable either way, but not showing up is just going to give them the more room to, you know, to stand on and say, this is why we're doing it.
Well, yeah. If you got Hunter, you're a tech. Let's say Ole Miss coming to town on Wednesday, and you've got 10,000 there, 9,000-10,000 people there. I mean, from a business aspect, you got to look at him as an athletic director, especially with NIL. All this, you don't think he's going to be looking for any ways to save money and generate more money? Mm-hmm. If he's looking at these midweek games in the SEC, or even if you got a Saturday game at noon and you got 11,000 in there, you're at half capacity and you're sitting there wondering why they're wanting to do this. Well, he's going to make more suites to get more money generated, because now your football money is going to the football team. This shared revenue thing, they're going to take care of football first, whether they deserve it or not. But now you have to look at your basketball program. We know how the baseball does. They pack out. I mean, you go to a freaking 38-degree Wednesday game against Army, there's people in the stands. They go. Baseball fans are different. They're a different category. They're a different breed. They stick to – you'll see more baseball fans because it's like that's their sport. Going to Baum Walker is their jam. That's why you'll see in the weekend season they have 10, 14,000 at every game that – series. This is not a Saturday game and then they're off for a week. They're showing up at the Friday game, Saturday game, Sunday game. We need to get the basketball fan base to be like the baseball fan base.
We're on a slippery slope, and it's one of those things, like you said earlier, it's only the first game, so just get back in the win column, because like we always say, winning cures everything.
Yeah,
and we'll forget about it.
Yep. I mean, look, you go 2-0 this week, we're going to delete this broadcast like it never happened.
It'd be one of those things, too. It's like, go to the game, and then if they start having a piss-poor performance, leave.
Yeah.
It says a lot for fans to get up and leave during a game than, you know, not showing up.
Yeah. I mean, look at the last coaching change win in football. What led to that? You're having 25,000 fans at a Western Kentucky game, and nobody was in the seats, and you've seen what happened. If you're looking at nobody in the stands, right there, winning cures everything. That goes back to what we're talking about, Coach Cal. We gave Eric Musselman so much crap for being in every single situation and every place he could possibly be on social media. Everybody seemed to forget about that in March because he was winning. He didn't win a national championship, but he was getting to Sweet 16s. He was getting to Elite Eights. Same thing's going to happen with Cal. You start winning, he gets this team to a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, year one. I think even if he gets a Sweet 16, year one, that's going to be amazing. That's going to be cool.
The only thing we don't forget is Club Dub.
Yeah. Yeah, Club Dub, left hand lane, hammer down. You can't have any of that stuff at all. But hopefully, like you said, they get it turned around. And again, Wednesday, you said 6 o'clock Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Game is it televised?
Yeah, everything now is going to be ESPN on. 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything right. From here on out is on one of the networks.
We'll move on to, we'll cover a little bit more. We'll cover the Florida game and then, of course, the semifinals. But, you know, bowl season is starting to wrap up. You got the CFP semifinals coming on. And how many SEC fans are having to be Texas fans, Adam? How many are forced now to be Texas fans this week?
You know, it's one of those things. You're going to have your fans that are constantly like, it doesn't matter what the sport is, they can't bring themselves to root for Texas, and I completely get it. I mean, even when we do our pick'ems, you know, it's one of those that at the very least we turn the Longhorn upside down just because you know we're picking them, but we've got it's one of those when we get into this stuff, like I personally don't care. Mm-hmm. Like about the right, like, you know, when we do our pickups and stuff, I'm just picking who I think is going to win the game. I really do not care about hatred. I mean, we've had to pick Mizzou in games. We've had to pick Texas in games numerous times. You know, it's one of those, just move past it. I personally, I think we can all see that this SEC dominance has shifted. We've all been talking about it. So none of us should be surprised if, for whatever reason, Texas doesn't get into the final, or Texas does and loses. It's one of those things that the whole landscape is shifting because of the transfer portal and NIL. So I personally I'm not going to pick an SEC team or go with an SEC team just because they're an SEC team. Mm-hmm. I think that that's just kind of asinine. That to me over the years has always been a bit ridiculous when the SEC chants or the it means more stuff from the fans of teams that aren't there.
Yeah.
You know, it's where we become the bigger cheerleaders for the Georgias, the Texas, the Alabamas when they're there, you know, and it's just like, why? You don't have to cheer for them just because they're in your conference. Who cares?
Yeah.
Personally, I think right now, Ohio State's the toughest team in this. Mm-hmm. They came on, they got hot at the right time. And, you know, I had a conversation earlier today with some buddies and, you know, he was giving his reasons why he thinks Texas will win it and that they're the toughest team. And I said Ohio State was. And he brought up like, well, how Ohio State played against Michigan. And I said, okay. And I said, Texas, you know, they sucked against Georgia twice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that right now, Ohio State's the hottest team in this. I personally would not be shocked if we're looking at a Notre Dame Ohio State national championship. Wait, or who's playing? Yep.
Penn State, Notre Dame.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing my pick 'em out there already. I think it's going to be Notre Dame and Ohio State.
If Texas beats Ohio State, but yet say loses to Notre Dame, does that make all the hoopla? And yes, the Texas Ohio State games in Dallas. Does it take all the hoopla out of what everybody been saying about the SEC? Because with all being said, you're still having an SEC team play for the national championship.
A little bit, because I mean, you still put somebody there. You mm-hmm. still had the team there. Which at the same time, I mean, Texas was still Texas last year too in the Big 12. You know, it's one of those things. Texas has stayed the course, but it's still we're still seeing the shift. The media and the other fan bases and the other conferences, they're going to do whatever they can to like twist the narrative. Like, oh, the SEC. We all already know that the SEC has things going against them because of NIL and the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. We called that when all this started, yep. that the landscape and the playing field was going to be evened out. So, you know, it's one of those. I saw, let me see if I've got it real quick. This was a social media post, so I can see who actually posted it. But it was going against the SEC. And this was sent to me earlier today. This was actually in the NCAA College Football 25, a group on Facebook. And it said, we've witnessed the abrupt death of the SEC dominance due to legal NIL. SEC dominance was rooted in paying players and giving them cars under the table to keep them from going north. SEC schools are going to be the ones crying for regulation because they're actually poor. I'm sorry for probably whatever, if I had to guess, yeah. that's coming from a Michigan or Ohio State fan. But that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever read.
Yeah, yes, it's not bad.
The SEC are in states that are poor. The schools are not.
No.
All this is a levelized playing field. Players can go where they choose. You have more options to get yourself up there to the CFP to potentially play for the national championship. But it's one of those that the SEC, I'm not going to say call it dominance anymore, but the SEC is still the SEC. These schools have more money than any of us know what to do with. So to sit there and say that these SEC schools are poor and that we're not going to be able to afford these players, everybody has NIL money right now. Look at where the money is mm-hmm. besides your $20 million roster at Ohio State.
Yeah. And, you know, much crap as Ohio State got. Look, I'll tell you this right now. You lose to Oregon. You lose to Michigan. That don't mean nothing. They win national championship. Mm-hmm. Michigan fans can throw it in their face. They're 0-2, and Ryan Day has not beat Ohio. They're not. They win a national championship. It don't mean nothing. Because they want it all. And kind of bringing the basketball team back into this narrative of, because when you look at the roster and how much reportedly Ohio State football roster got paid, and then you look at the basketball team, what if the same thing happens?
what if early on in SEC play, Arkansas is just not playing to their potential? They're not turning the Jets on yet. They get to the second half of the season, then they start turning the Jets on. They get SEC play, run the table. Might not win the SEC tournament, but now they get hot just like Ohio State did because they're fewer, but yet they're getting all this money and something finally clicks. I mean, you can kind of compare the two, but now we're waiting on Arkansas to lift off. That's mm-hmm. all we're waiting on.
It's a matter of time. It's one of those, I know that a lot of the show we've probably been a bit Debbie Downer-ish on it. We're frustrated with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, expectations are high. They're still high. So it's one of those that when you have lofty and high expectations, everything is under a microscope even more. Mm-hmm. And so that's where a lot of the frustration comes from.
Now, a part of that post, I have to put my ACC hat on just for a quick second. I know you love when I do this. But I do agree with the part where they're screaming for regulations. I do agree with that because they are. Because they only got three teams in. Two teams got knocked out first round or first time they played. Now you're leaning on one in a 12-team playoff. Now they're wanting to say, well, we need to change the seeding, which – totally agree with. But, you know, before all this started, the Big Ten and the SEC were trying to come in to cahoots together to where they could get four automatic teams no matter what. So it's like the SEC almost seen this coming of, well, what happens if we don't get our numbers in? What happens if we don't get our four in? Well, let's try to strike a deal with the Big Ten. And that's where, and I should have said something to begin with, because it was to me as, why is the SEC going to the Big Ten? Big Ten did not come to the SEC for this deal. The SEC went to the Big Ten for this deal. Why did that happen? That right there to me was the changing of the guards in the dominance, because the SEC was always known for doing things beforehand, and they were always known for being a step ahead of other conferences. You look at the conference realignments. You talk about expansions. The SEC started all that. But when Greg Sankey went to the Big Ten to try to get an automatic four teams in, and, well, hey, if we get four teams, we'll give you four teams. That showed right there that there was a chink in the armor. They seen something coming, and now we're seeing it unfold. And I'm sorry, but this has nothing to do with cheating, because everybody did it. Every player, every team were paying players under the table. This is not an SEC thing. But now it's more even. And the teams that had more control when you had a four-team playoff and you're dealing with ESPN and you're looking at numbers and you have all the SEC teams, now it's expanded out. Now a lot of more teams that are good have a chance to upset you. Now look at what we have. We have one SEC team in the semifinals. And if you really would have went by this year's standards and went to a four-team playoff, how many SEC teams would have been in? Maybe one. Texas? Do you think Georgia would have got in?
I still, because if you looked at the top four, you still had Georgia in it.
Yeah. So Georgia was.
I mean, Texas is fifth.
That's right, fifth.
Yeah.
So they'd have been the first team out.
But, and then, I mean, it's one of those things now. You look at all these other conferences. So you've got an independent, you've got an SEC, and you've got two Big Ten.
Yep.
So, and there's your case right there that these two conferences still are the cream of the crop, pick of the litter.
And they are. They are.
You but also, too, with Greg saying, you know, SEC going to the Big Ten, not only for the playoff side of it things as well, but I think it also, them buddying up, helps them at any future decisions that are going to be made amongst conference.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's a brilliant business move. It's the fact that they – if the Big Ten would have come to the SEC about it, I would have been like, oh, okay, SEC is still the dominant one. They're the ones that are the Don.
SEC is the one that are scared.
So, yeah, and it's showing. And then they see the results of, why do you think they were fighting so hard to get Bama in? Why do you think they were like, well, these teams don't deserve to be in? Because they were holding on. The death of the SEC is not here, because they're always going to be strong, but it is starting to crack. But guess what? For football fans, for everybody, it's not a bad thing, because you're going to see here in a couple of years, if they get this seeding done right, and like we talked about last week, and you move these pieces around, you move these pieces around, you're going to have a lot better games in the first round. Then you're going to have a good, you know, semifinal matches up, and you're not going to have these lopsided. Because even though Arizona State played the way they did against Texas, but you're not going to have teams like Boise State getting a first round bye. You take, like I said, you get your four conference championships, then you have eight large bids, and then you seed those 12s how you see fit. You're going to see the 12-team playoff be a lot better than what it was this year.
And I think a lot of this, too, I mean, every time, because it hasn't happened that often. Whenever it's not been an SEC team to win the title or to be in the title game, we hear this from the outside all the time. This is the end of the SEC. It's finally here. The end of, guess what? It's not. And no, the thing
is, everybody's joining the SEC.
And everybody's got to realize, too, that the same thing is happening in basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking over when it comes to the top coaches and the top talent. And the only thing right now that can save a lot of that is the NIL, or the NIL as we know it now, which could change starting July 1st when the new fiscal year starts. But I mean, you're not going to see the number one player in the country go to BYU for a $7 million NIL deal starting July 1st.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the revenue sharing and some, and you're going to go back to some of these under the table handshake deals.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're going to want deals that cannot be reviewed by the NCAA.
Now, the BYU situation, I kind of bring up them with Vandy, you know, because Vandy's always been able to get away with it because they're a private institution. How is that going to affect these private institutions that don't have to disclose how much they give or how much scholarships or whatnot?
Good question. But I mean, I still feel like that they have to, just because it's not public doesn't mean they don't have to divulge information to the NCAA. Yeah.
It was a serious question. I just didn't know how that was going to work out.
It's just not, we're not privy to what those numbers are, but the powers that be are. So they still fall under those same guidelines, if you will. But you're going to see things done, I mean, in my opinion, a lot more shady of a way than just handing somebody a McDonald's sack full of money.
Yeah. It's going to go to that. And it's going to be also, I think that will happen until, if it goes into fruition. How I think it's going to go is if they really start getting these GMs, they start getting this semi-pro model, you got a salary cap, or this is what we're going to pay said player, and it's all the same depending on the market. You know, mm-hmm. you look at the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and then you look at the New York Yankees. You still have it in pro just like you do in college. So it's going to be the same thing, but I think if they go to that model, everything's going to be – I don't think the colleges – they should just facilitate who the coaches and players are. I don't think coaches and all this – you should have a committee. You should have – just like a pro model. I don't think Sam Pittman and Hunter Yurachek should be worrying about NIL. That should be the least of their worries. You should be winning. And this is not a dig at them. I'm talking about this is, it shouldn't be on their shoulders, but it is.
But some of this too, and this is going to be kind of a shot at Sam Pittman and Hunter Yurachek, while everybody else is getting GMs and whatnot and changing this. You've got three guys underneath Sam Pittman up there because you don't think that you're not going to go get a GM because you've got three guys to do the job. And one of your main guys to do the job, you don't think is qualified enough to be the GM, but you're so loyal to him. I mean, it's one of those things that this whole loyalty factor that we have seen in Fayetteville, especially with football, is kind of a kiss of death for some of these coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it could be a kiss of death for the athletic director. Because I've stated it. Love the guy. We've had him on the show. But, you know, it's one of them things that his stubbornness, if he's not willing to fully embrace this NIL, is going to cost him his job. Because I know he's done a great job as a whole as athletic director. But when you go to your main program, your main thing, and you're kind of crapping the bed on how this is being run, and you're not willing to accept the changes, or you're the first one to say you had a collective, but you've done nothing with it. You're bragging about having $1 million total when players were getting $1 million. So it's all been a smokescreen. So now let's change that. Let's get a GM. Let's get somebody in here to run this program because you're in the SEC too. It's the schedule's not going to get any easier. The teams are not going to get any easier. These four non-conference games, those opponents are not going to get any easier. So you got to adjust with the times, or you're going to find yourself at another school. That's just the way it is.
So. Things will never be the same.
No, it won't. But we have to accept the changes. But I will say this, if it goes to that pro model, I think once the dust settles, it's going to be good. It's going to be good because it's going to be controlled. And you're going to have people not going year to year. I think they'll have it to where it's a two-year kind of contract. You're signing contracts with these teams. You're not going to be sitting out bowl games. You're going to have a set period on when you can leave, and like a free agency per se. And you're not going to have tampering. You're not going to have none of that stuff going on because it's going to be more regulated. Because I'll tell you this right now. When I worked at DirecTV, there was a committee, a building. All they did was look at employees' social media accounts and look and see what if they were saying anything bad against the organization or the company. If you don't think that can't be done on these players' social medias or people trying to contact these social media accounts, it can easily be done. So, I mean, you're talking about the tampering, who's connecting who. You can get you could really go that deep if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we've heard it that the powers that be in Northwest Arkansas are watching these shows and watching our socials, and they're doing it to us. They're doing it to the players too.
Yeah. If they're saying it at SEC Media Days that if people are talking bad about them, they're going to, you know, kind of consequences per se. Yeah. They'll go to anybody. Adam, you got anything else? Cause you've got a second round coming up.
Yeah, it's cold. So stay warm.
It's going to get brutal. We'll have more on that Thursday, but if you're out there, please stay warm this week. We got Hog HQ coming up at 8:05. Thank you for everybody listening, tuning in tonight. Don't forget to download our podcast everywhere podcasts found. We have a YouTube channel, TikTok channel. So like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. But for Adam Hall, I'm Porter Hayes. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We'll catch you on Thursday.